Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John. John chapter 15, verses 11 through 15. John 15, 11 through 15. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Right. At this time, the pastor will bring our message. Pastor.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. In my mind, I can hear a nice Okay, this one's got some battery now. Nice and loud. There we go. Today's message is about friends. When you hear the word friend or friends, it could evoke different images in your mind. It could be feelings of warmth, childhood memories, or it could be feelings of difficulty and pain. You know, when I was a kid, I remember going to my mom driving me around, and there was this daycare in South Bend, Indiana, and this, on the sign out front, it said, Friends. You know, and it was a bunch of people holding hands, and there were little hearts above everybody, and everyone was all kinds of different colors with different color clothes. So when I hear the word friends, that's the image that always pops up in my mind. Sitting in the car, seeing that sign of a daycare called Friends. And it's really a beautiful thing. As I was preparing for this sermon, I got to thinking, like, that's such a special word that I had forgotten about, really just thinking about the word. So I hear the word friends, and it brings back good memories of building sandcastles in the sandbox over at school. I remember trading Pokemon cards with friends, going over to friends' houses, spending the night, and playing video games, going hiking with friends, all kinds of good stuff, eating together at the cafeteria at school. And that's what friends are about. Friends spend time together. They share one another's interests. They just enjoy one another's company. And one of the best things about the Christian church is that when you join it or a part of it, in reality, as God wants it, we are all friends. And I want to take a look today at what friendship looks like in the Scriptures and the most important friend that we can ever have. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now make this is such a simple topic in Scripture, but yet it's so foundational to the Christian faith. This is what makes God's kingdom and serving Him so attractive, is the fact that there is friendship and there's love and camaraderie. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says here, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." There's something that often gets overlooked in the Scriptures that I've come across, and it's amazing. The Bible is not just a book of wisdom, of understanding how things work, who Jesus is, you know, like He's human, He's God. It's not just about how Jesus saved us through His blood. The Bible actually gives us a picture of what God is like through a multitude of means. I mean, the importance of Jesus giving His blood for us is because it's a demonstration of His love. And Jesus said, what is the law? The law is love. Love God and love your neighbor. And even in the way Paul writes to Timothy here, you get a picture of the love in the Christian church. Check this out in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, firstly, Paul says, "I thank God." So that's an expression of gratitude to God and His thankfulness. "Who I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day." The people that Paul is writing to aren't just church members to him. They are people that he remembers in his prayers night and day. They're friends. He cares about them. He thinks about his friends. He prays for them night and day. They're on his mind. You think about someone that you appreciate or enjoy being around or you even care for. They're on your mind and you think about how they're doing. You pray for them. That's how Paul felt about the people that he served. In verse 4 he says, "greatly desiring to see you." Check that out. Paul wants to see his friends, the people in the church. I mean, these simple words and these expressions of love give us a picture of the deep love and fellowship that Paul modeled in the Christian church. This is the type of power in Christianity that drew people to it. It was this deep love, care, and thoughtfulness that Paul modeled and that he learned from our Savior. He says, "greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois." So he's writing to Timothy here. But Paul takes joy in the genuine faith and sanctification, the growing in sanctification of the believers and their faith in Christ and being justified by His blood, being made right in God's sight legally. Paul took joy in people being saved and in right in God's sight. So I encourage you, don't just skip over the things, the beginnings of these letters in the New Testament. There's a lot of, it's deep theology, but at the same time, it isn't what people would call deep theology. It's basic, it's simple, but it's at the core of what God is all about. He's about loving people and loving Him. It's about love. And the way Paul begins his letters is an expression of love. Let's go over to John chapter, Acts 24. We'll wait to go to John. We'll go to Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. Acts 24, verses 22 to 27 is a little bit about what I'm going to talk about here. Paul got in trouble, and he got in trouble often for preaching love. He preached about the love that Christ had in coming to this earth, and it made the devil and the people who served the devil angry, and they would come up against him. So Paul, being in trouble once again, he was brought before Felix. And in verse 22 it says, of Acts 24:22, it says, when Felix heard what Paul was saying, when he heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, that's what Christianity is, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I'll make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. So Paul was put in prison and was granted some more liberty when he explained more that he was teaching. And this was a blessing from God that was given to Paul through Felix. Paul was given liberty, even being in prison, like Joseph, he was given responsibilities and he was trusted. Interesting thing about Christian prisoners is that the way they carry themselves, the principles they espouse, causes them to be treated differently sometimes than other prisoners, because there's the recognition of the spirit of trust, mercy and love in them, and it affords them more liberty, actually, not the spirit of rebellion. So, Paul's friends, what do they do here when he's in prison? What do Paul's friends do for him? They provide for and visit him. So they bring him gifts, provisions. Maybe they didn't give as much food in Roman prisons, so they maybe brought him food, and they went and saw him too. And I'm sure this was a great joy to Paul. So because of Paul's labors and the love that he expressed towards the people, when he was in trouble, when he was in chains, the people that he loved, loved him back. And they provided for him and visited him. That is what the Christian church looked like in the early centuries. It's what it looked like. And I'm sure Paul was praying for them while he was in prison, in tears of pain, but also tears of joy, giving thanks to God for them. Let's go over to John chapter 15 now. John chapter 15. And these were the verses that Jeff read here. John 15, verse 11. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Great love, greater love, has no one than this, than that to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus did not just see his disciples as disciples, servants, people to follow him around and listen to him. He called them friends. And he shared with them the things that the Father taught him. And because Jesus loved his friends, he was willing to lay down his life for them. Not only those friends that day, but us, he calls friends. And he laid down his life for you and for me. And I can think of no greater reason to serve the Lord than that right there, that he laid down his life for me, calling me a friend. Even calling me a friend when I was an enemy. Calling me a friend when I was a sinner, still a sinner. Calling me a friend and giving me grace and mercy for the times I haven't been a good friend to him. And he's calling us to love one another the way he loves us. We're friends here in the church. And, you know, sometimes friends wrong one another. Friends get upset at one another. But there's forgiveness in true friendship, just like Jesus has shown us. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Paul demonstrated that to the disciples too, his friends. He took the time to pray for them, night and day. He gave up tears for them, willing to experience pain for his friends. Just like Jesus was willing to bear the bitterness and pain of this earth for his friends. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Love the person in church next to you. Love that person who irritates you. Love that person who's stolen from you. Love that person who stands for everything opposite of what you stand for. And it just may be that that person's life will be turned around by the love you show them. And this is the power of Christianity. The power of God. It's the power of love. It's the power of love. And this is what the world is waiting for. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The world wants to see Christians who are actually friends. Christians who aren't warring against one another, but Christians who serve God with all of their heart, obeying his commandments, loving one another, and giving their lives to show what Jesus did. And to live lives the way Jesus lived. It isn't just a life of pain and sacrifice. The Christian life is a life of giving. It's a life of giving, of joy. Remember, in John 15, Jesus doesn't say, in verse 11, he doesn't say, "and that your pain may be full." He says, "these things I have spoken to you," that "my pain may remain in you and that your pain may be full." He didn't say that. He said that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. It's a joy to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's when the shift happens, when it becomes a joy for you to lay down your life for other people. That's joy. That's happiness. That's why Jesus was so happy, is because he wasn't selfish. He laid down his life continually for other people. That's the secret to the joy of Christianity. Laying down your life for your friends. Laying down your life for your friends. And with friendship comes love, good feelings, but difficulties can arise in friendship too. And we're going to take a look at some of the things that can happen too. One thing that Solomon says about friends in Proverbs 14, verse 20, he says, "the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends." Think about that. Solomon was a wise man, and he was wealthy too. He recognized that some people are just your friend because of what you have, because of what you can do for them, or just because they like the way you look, they like your house, or they like your jet ski, or they like the fact that you have a position and you can give them power. Solomon said the poor man's hated even by his neighbor. The world views, the worldly way of friendship is friends to get to your end, to get what you want. If a man is poor, if someone's poor, he's hated even by his neighbor. He doesn't have anything. I can't use him for anything. I don't want to be friends with him. He has nothing to offer. She has nothing to offer me. Solomon said the rich has many friends. That's one of the bitter parts of friendship, is sometimes that friends are only your friends because of what you have. Outward things, physical things. It's a sad thing that the world has to be that way. And sometimes, on another note like that, sometimes we have to make choices between friends and what the Lord wants us to do. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Chapter 19. Second Samuel chapter 19, verse 5. Some background here is David's son Absalom was in rebellion, and Joab, one of the chief military officers of David, comes in and he has something to say to David. Here's what he says, 2 Samuel 19, verse 5. "Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, 'Today you've disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life, the lives of your sons, your daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends. You've declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants, for today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, that it would have pleased you well. Now therefore arise, go out and speak comfort to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you don't go out, not one will stay with you this night. And that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth till now. Then the king arose, sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, there is the king sitting in the gate. So all the people came before the king, for everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. Absalom got his head caught in a tree, and David's officers, his military men, killed Absalom, and David was mourning over this. And Joab was upset because he's like, hey, look at everything Absalom did, and we try to help you out, and you love him more than you love us. This is ridiculous. It's a good thing that Absalom's dead. Well, there's that key statement there in 2 Samuel 19, verse 6. Joab said to David, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends. Sometimes when you express love, it can make people mad. And they can be jealous because they perceive it as lack of love for them if you love your enemies or love someone else. So this is what we call taking sides here. And you know, I can see where Joab's coming from, but David expresses well the character of God here. God does not exult and glory over the death of his enemies or his sons who are in rebellion. He mourns over it. Sometimes friends can get upset at us because they misunderstand where we're coming from and what we're doing. I know personally I've lost some friends because you know, I did what I thought was best with the Lord. And I lost some friends because of it. David almost lost some friends here. And you know, that's part of the joy of the gospel, is having friends in Christian fellowship. And Jesus also says, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. So you may lose friends for the sake of the gospel too. That actually happened to Job. Let's go to Job chapter 16. And Job's experience represents, well, what we'll experience at the end of time. Job chapter 16. And verse 20. Job said, my friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. My friends scorn me, my eyes pour out tears to God. My friends scorn me, my eyes pour out tears to God. Job was a wealthy man, well liked by people, and when everything he had was swept away by the devil, when his health deteriorated, when he lost family, lost friends, he was basically an object of abhorrence to the people. And, you know, maybe some of you have experienced this loss of friends, or the reasons your friends liked you before went away and they stopped liking you. You know, remember Solomon said, the rich man has many friends. Well, Job wasn't rich in health anymore, and his family was getting destroyed by the devil. Everything was falling apart, and he lost his friends. So too, at the end of the world, when we can't buy or sell, when we're hungry, when we lose jobs, people are going to scorn us. We're going to lose friends. And it may cause us to pour out tears before God. Tears of pain, but also tears praying for those people. And so in being a Christian too, friendship is good with people. But you have to be willing to stick with God before people. If the people that you love and the people that are your friends choose the world over God, stick with God. Don't follow your friends. Stick with God. We're told by John that friendship with the world is enmity with God. So we have to prioritize our friendships. Prioritize our friendships. Remember, the best friend we can ever have is Jesus, because he's the friend that laid down his life for us. Pick Jesus over earthly friends. Pick Jesus over earthly friends. And in Job chapter 19, we get another glimpse into it, into Job's experience. He says, my relatives have failed and my close friends have forgotten me. My relatives have failed, my close friends have forgotten me. Have you lost friends for the gospel's sake? Lost jobs? Lost privileges? It's okay. Just know that your brothers and sisters who've served God through the millennia have experienced the same thing as you. And take courage and take strength in knowing that Jesus experienced it too. And he has strength for you to bear any difficulties you've had in loss of friends or relationships or relatives. The pain of that separation, Jesus can well supply the lack from the loss of those friends. And while we're here in these peaceful times, for the most part, enjoy the fellowship of Christian friends. Work together. Love one another. Pray for one another. Remember, Paul didn't cease to pray for his friends night and day. It shouldn't be a difficulty to pray for your friends. Pray for your friends. They're your friends. You remember, friends are the people you build sandcastles with. Friends are the people you hike with. Friends are the people that you do good for other people with. Friends are the people that you experience your life with and that you've chosen to be your companions. Strengthen one another. Be like iron, sharpening iron. When you join the Christian church, when you're a part of the church, you join a group of friends that love one another and that stick together. The law is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if we can love one another in this church, we're going to see a great harvest, because the people that are looking for love in this world, when they see the love between us, Jesus' prayer will be answered. And they'll come. His sheep will hear his voice. They'll come. They'll come. They'll come. They'll come here to be with the people that love one another. They'll be here. So, you know, as I was sitting in the chair back out there, I looked out the window and I saw a nice orange cat sitting back on the neighbor's porch over here. And I got to thinking, this illustration popped into my head. You know, maybe you have lost some friends or family members for the gospel's sake. Maybe you feel like that cat next door, out on the back porch, door shut. It's about to rain outside, yawning, tired, not knowing what to do. That cat was sitting there with nothing to do. Just the door shut on him. But, you know, eventually, that door opened up, and someone walked out, and the cat, he found his friend, and he followed him over off to the side. So, you know, God will provide friends and help for you if you're feeling lonely, if you've lost friends. Jesus will come and comfort you. Just ask Him, search for Him with all your heart, and the Lord will send you some friends. So, my question to you today is, do you want to lay down your life for your friends? Do you want to lay down your life for your friends? If so, just raise your hand with me and ask the Lord to help you lay down your life and be a part of true Christianity. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, please give us love for one another so we can be friends and experience the joy of heaven, a little bit of it here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And may God bless you in your lunch this afternoon. And with His fellowship and with your family or whoever He sends your way. God bless you all.